I travel alone upon this lonesome way. My burdens were heavy and dark was my day. I looked for a friend, not knowing that he had all of the time been looking for me. Now it is Jesus and me for each tomorrow, for every heartache and every sorrow. I know that I can depend upon my newfound friend, and so to the end, it's Jesus and me. The road may be long to heaven's pearly gates. I know that it's narrow, I know that it's straight, but Jesus is there through eternity. We'll travel along, just Jesus and me. Now it is Jesus and me for each tomorrow, for every heartache and every sorrow. I know that I can depend upon my newfound friend, and so to the end, it's Jesus and me. Forever I'll sing of his great love to me. Forever I'll tell it on land and on sea. I'll stay by his side, contented I'll be. For all of my life, it's Jesus and me. Now it is Jesus and me for each tomorrow, for every heartache and every sorrow. I know that I can depend upon my newfound friend, and so to the end, it's Jesus and me.
1 Peter chapter number 5 this morning. And in case you haven't caught on, I have been trying to preach a message on each one of the memory verses as we go through them, one of the 2 weeks that we're doing. And today is going to be not going to be any different. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. And like I said last week, I sure hope I read it right. It's going to be embarrassing if I can't read it right when we're trying to quote it. You quote it right and I can't even read it right. So hopefully I'll get it read right. And but 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Verse number 9 says, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." And so Peter tells us to be sober, to be vigilant, and then he tells us to resist steadfast. That means continually. Don't get tired of doing it. Now, well, let's pray, and then we'll get into a message. Father, thank you again for your goodness. I ask now that you help and guide us, and just bless each one that's gathered here this morning. And I pray, Father, that you'll help us to learn exactly what you'd have us to learn from this message this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't know why, and don't really remember when I started, but for some reason here, well, I guess God knows why, but because he knew this message was coming up. But for some reason, I've been watching a lot of different documentaries on lions. And especially interested in how they attack their prey. And so this is not a science or whatever lesson this morning, but there are some things that I learned that I see that are similar to the way that the devil works on you and I. And so we're going to look at that this morning. And so hopefully we'll find some things here that will help us. But you'll notice that first of all, Peter gives us an exhortation to be sober and to be vigilant. Sober, that has to do with how we think. You know, we need to think soberly. We don't need to just run off on some whim, you know, and just act on it, you know. So many times somebody says something, we get our feelings hurt, and the next thing you know, we're mad at the world. We think everybody in the church doesn't like us. We think everybody's a hypocrite and all, you know. And then we say, we get upset, and the first thing we do, we want to retaliate. And we don't stop and think about what all the consequences is that's going to be. And we don't even stop to think about that maybe we misunderstood what they had to say anyway. And you get mad at somebody, you'd be surprised how many times somebody's got mad at somebody and when it finally came out, they said, "What in the world are you talking about? I didn't even say that." Or at least if I said that, I don't remember saying it. And I surely didn't mean what, you know. You know, sometimes we hear people talking, we just assume they're talking about us. You know, you hear somebody whisper. You know, how would you like to get mad at somebody because you hear them whispering about you just to find out they were planning on your surprise birthday party? And here you were mad at them, spread rumors all around about them, you know, and talk about how sorry and poor friends they are just to find out all they wanted to do was celebrate your birthday. So Peter said, be sober and be vigilant. Stop and think about what's going on in your head and what you're about to do. And just don't run off on some whim. But then it says to be vigilant. That means to be alert. We need to know. You need to know, in case you hadn't figured it out yet, the one person that's the most faithful in church is the devil. You can lay out tomorrow or next week, but the devil, he won't lay out. He'll be here. You say, why is he always here? Because he's looking for a victim. And he knows where to find. If you're saved by the grace of God, he knows where to find you. He figures you, if you're saved by the grace of God, you ought to be in church, and he knows that. And so he'll come so he can sow discord. And if you're not in church, well, that brings up another problem. And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. But we need to be sober, and we need to be vigilant. You say, why do we need to be vigilant? Well, he says, because our adversary, the devil. Now, an adversary, that's an enemy. It's also used of an opponent in a lawsuit. You know, the one who takes you to court, he doesn't have your best interest in mind. You know, he wants either what you have monetarily, or he wants a little bit of your skin, and he wants you to pay something. And the devil is an adversary. He's not. You know, a lot of people get the idea that they can make a bargain with the devil and everything will be all right. You know, just enjoy a little bit of sin, you know, and it'll be all right. No, it doesn't work that way. You see, because the devil doesn't want to, he may let you run a little while. It's kind of like fishing, you know. When a fish bites the hook, you don't immediately jerk the hook, because if you do, you'll jerk it out of his mouth. If you don't let him run a little bit and get that hook down in him good, there's a good chance you'll miss him. And so the devil may let you run around and you may enjoy sin for a little while and it seems like nothing bad's happening. Oh, but you wait. You wait, because when he sets the hook, you'll find out it's in too deep to spit out. And so I've been fishing many times, and many times a fish has swallowed the hook, and the only way to get it out is just to pull it out, and whatever comes out with him comes out with him. You say, that's terrible. That's the way sin is. You mess around with the devil, and God, yeah, maybe God can restore you, but oh, what kind of damage is going to be done in the process? So we need to be sober. We need to be vigilant, because we do have an adversary. And he is walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's his goal. The devil never lets you enjoy sin for any reason other than the fact that he wants to get you down so far down the road that you can't get yourself out, because he wants to destroy you. And so he's at a roaring lion. And so now this is where I want to share with you some things I've learned about lions. Now, lions like Cape Buffalo. Okay, that seems to be their favorite meal. One, because they're big and they can feed the whole pride off of one. They can. You say, well, they could do that with elephants and rhinos and hippopotamuses. Yeah, they can. Well, there's a price to be paid with that. You know, they are number one. The other, if they can manage to get them down, their hide's so tough they're almost impossible to eat. So they like Cape Buffalo. But the only problem with Cape Buffalo is that the Cape Buffalo has horns. They're pretty good size, and they have horns. And they're actually one of the most dangerous animals to the lions. So they have a method about how they go about hunting these buffalo. And I want you to think about how they do it. Number one, the first thing that you'll notice is that if you read about lions or watch the documentaries on them, they'll follow that herd of buffalo for days before they'll ever attack. You say, well, why do they do that? Well, because they're finding their prey. They're finding the mothers with young. They're finding the elderly, the sick, the ones that can't keep up with the herd, the ones that are most likely going to be straggling, and that's who they're looking for. So most of the time, by the time they attack, they already know which buffalo they're after. Usually it's several different ones, but you know, now they are opportunists. You know, sometimes things just happen and you just happen to run into the right situation. But most of the time, they've got a plan. As a matter of fact, I didn't know this, but female lions, you know, the lionesses do most of the hunting. And a female lion from a very early age learns her position in the hunt. And she never changes that position throughout her lifetime. So she's an expert at her job. She knows what her job is. She knows where she's supposed to be. And she knows what she's supposed to do. And so you say, well, why do we need to know all that? Well, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. Let me give you a reason, one of the reasons why I want to bring this lesson this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. In verse number 11 says, well, let me just read verse number 10. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Paul says that we're not ignorant of his devices, but I'm afraid in the church today there's a lot of people who are ignorant of Satan's devices. And so this morning I'm going to try to help us along that line so that we're not ignorant of his devices. And so you need to know, like I said, if anybody's faithful in church, you can rest assured the devil is faithful, because he's looking. And he's looking for the ones that are faithful and strong in the Lord. He's looking for those who are kind of haphazard in their Christian life and who may be easy targets. Now, if you'll know one thing about the buffalo also know their weakness is being by themselves. So buffalo have a strategy that they deal with the lions with, and that is they put all their weak on the inside and all the strong are on the outside facing the lions. One buffalo beside another. So if you were to walk around a circle, all you would see is horns, hoofs and horns. And lions won't attack them in that condition. As long as they're united, as long as they're standing shoulder to shoulder, lions won't attack them. And as long as you and I as brothers and sisters in Christ will love one another and look out for one another, then we won't have a whole lot of trouble with the devil. Where the buffalo get into trouble is when that wall is broken. You say, well, how do they do that? Well, number one, lions usually attack at night because the buffalo's vision is not as good. And you can rest assured that if you're going through a time of trouble, or this church, something happens and the church is going through a time of trouble, whatever, you can rest assured that the devil will take advantage of it. And the truth of the matter is, we're going to go through times of trouble as individuals and as a church. There's not a church in this world that's never had any problems. You know, our members get sick. Our members have physical trouble. Our members, you know, have growing pains just like everybody else. And if you and I don't make it our goal to try to care for one another and to love one another and to strengthen one another, you know, what is? Well, turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 10. We read quoted this verse when we talked about the church, but Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number. Let's just pick up with verse number 24. It says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Well, why so much the more as you see the day approaching? Well, because hard times have come. Paul said that in the latter days that perilous times would come. And we're going to need one another. And if we haven't made it a practice to learn to love one another and to support one another and to encourage one another, when those perilous times come, we're going to be in a bad shape. And so we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices, and we need to learn how to stand against the devil. Romans chapter number 15 and verse number 1, I believe it is. Romans chapter number 15 and verse number 1. Now, do you know the Bible says that we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Verse number 15, or 1 of chapter number 15 of Romans says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." You say, well, why do I need to study the Bible? Why do I need to memorize these verses? Because we want you to be strong. So that one of your brothers and sisters in Christ is going through a hard time and they're needing our help, we can put them in the center of the herd. You say, "Preacher, you're calling us a herd of buffalo?" Well, and today, this morning, welcome to the herd. All right? But that's the way we take care of our own. Those that are weak, those that are struggling, they need those that are strong. And listen, one of these days you may be one. You may be the one that's weak, elderly, weak. And one of the reasons we try so hard in these nursing home ministries, listen, I take that serious, and I think you do too. But one of the reasons that we try so hard in that is because we want those who are Christians in that place to know that there's somebody that loves them. That they've got somebody that they can depend on to love them and pray for them and to visit with them and to help them. And so, because one of these days, you may be there and you want somebody from your church to come and visit you. So, the buffalo, they put up a united front. As long as they put up the united front, they're okay. But then the lions, they have a technique of dealing with that too. Like I say, they don't hunt individually. They hunt in prides. Usually the female lions do the majority of the hunting. But the males do they don't do that much as far as trying to get them stirred up. But they do have some things where they really come in and show their strength. But the thing that you learn about lions hunting buffalo is not the lion that you see that you have to worry about. There's always one lioness out that the herd sees, but they don't see the rest. You see, because lions ambush buffalo. And the way they do that, they have to separate the herd. They have to get the herd to stand speed. They have to get them to split up. And so the one lioness, that's her job. Her job is to charge the herd to try to get them to split up. You say, well, how does the devil charge to hurt? Well, he puts bugs in your ear. You know, they don't really love me down there. You know, you really have no reason for that, to believe that, but the devil put it in your ear that they really don't love me. I'm really not important. You know, nobody will miss me if I'm not there. You know, so-and-so doing this and that and the other. Just all kinds of rumors and different things. So, let me say this to you. If somebody puts a bug in your ear about one of your brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you to think about it this way. If somebody were to tell you, I'm going to use Gary for example. Somebody was to tell you that Gary, he beats Michelle all the time. Would you believe that?
Every day.
Every day? Once a day? Every day? Once a day? Every day. Okay. Would you believe that? What if somebody was to tell Gary that I beat my wife every day? If Gary wouldn't want people to believe that about him, then he knows that I wouldn't want them to believe that about me. So without going out and making sure that there's some validity to it, don't believe it. Don't spread it. Don't talk to anybody else about it. If you wouldn't want anybody talking about you that way, don't do it to them. That would help us a whole lot right there. If we just remember, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That would solve a lot of problems. But it's usually not the line that you see that's the problem. It's the ones that you don't see. All that line that you see, all that trouble that you see coming down the line, and the devil will tell you, he'll tell you, you know, how many of you have thought, boy, you know, this... You got some problem and you think, boy, this is really going to turn out to be something terrible. You've already got how bad it's going to be. It figured out in your head. And it usually never comes to pass. You say, well, why does the devil put it in there? Because he wants to get you to act without stopping to think. Without being sober in your thinking. He just wants you to act. So that line, what she's trying to do, she's trying to startle the herd to get them to run. Because once they run, all the horns are facing the opposite direction of where the lions are at. So the devil will paint to you a very bleak picture of something, but just don't believe him. Just stand firm and stand. And if you need help, you go to your brothers and sisters in Christ and say, pray for me. I'm struggling with something. But don't run. Let me say this to you as well. Those times when you're struggling with something and you don't feel like being around people, people are the one thing you need to be around. You say, I don't feel like being around people. Well, that sick buffalo, he might not feel like being around people either. He may not feel like he can keep up with the herd and where they're going, but if he doesn't keep up with the herd and where they're going, he's made himself vulnerable. If you get down and depressed and you get away from church and away from your brothers and sisters in Christ, you've opened yourself up for a time because now you're vulnerable. And so that one line is, she roars to spook the herd. She can't tackle the buffalo by herself. But she can get you to get you away from the herd. They can gang up on you. And this is where one of the male lions come in. Usually the lioness, even a pride of lioness, unless it's a very big pride, they're not big enough to take down a full-grown buffalo. But the males are heavier. They're bigger, they're heavier, and they can. And males work together too. Usually one of them, it depends, and I didn't realize this, but usually most of those lion prides are ruled by a coalition of males, not just one. There's usually two, three, four of them. But if that's, I'm going to use three this morning because I actually saw it work in one of the documentaries I was working. But one of the lions, one of the male lions, his job is to knock the buffalo down. You say, well, why does he want to knock them down? Because then they can get to his spine. And if they can get to his spine, they can paralyze him. And he can't get up. And he can't fight. And he can't run. One of the males' responsibility is to grab the buffalo by the throat. You say, well, what's he doing that? Number one, he's doing it to suffocate him. If he can't breathe, he's going to die. But the other thing he's doing is to clamp his vocal cords shut. Because if that buffalo can move, or whatever buffaloes do, whatever they do, grunt, then the other males or the other buffalo can hear him and will come to his rescue. So the devil doesn't want you to be hurt. Sometimes we're hurting on the inside and we say, well, I don't want anybody to know. Well, if you don't let somebody know, nobody can come to your rescue. Nobody can put their arm around you and tell you, hey, listen, God loves you. We love you. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. But the third male, you know what he does? Usually by the time, it doesn't take long before the herd gathers back up. But he roars. And I didn't know this either, but they say that, if I got to remember the number right, a male lion's roar can be heard up to 5 miles away. And all he does is roar. He stands in front of the herd and roars. You say, well, why is he doing that? To drown out the sound. In case that other, the one they captured, is actually making a sound he doesn't want the herd to be able to hear. And if you and I are so busy listening to the roar of the devil, even if our brothers and sisters in Christ are calling out, we won't hear it. And sometimes we let our problems get so big that we don't have time to listen and to help somebody else. You see, this thing of being a Christian and being a church requires that everyone take their part. You see, as long as that buffalo herd, as long as there's a big circle with nothing but horns poking out on the outside, again, the lions are very hesitant to even try to attack them. But all it takes is for one. If one bolts, it usually affects the rest of them and all of them start running. Now that one who left, he may get caught himself, but he may not. But because he left his position and left the other ones vulnerable. You say, well, the devil, you know, he's not bothering me. I can handle it. You know, but if you're not careful to watch out for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And you just kind of wander off on your way and do your own thing. Oh, yeah, you may not end up a prey of the devil. But someone you love may. And so it's very important that each one of us realize that we all are important to one another. Because the devil is as a roaring lion. And his goal in life is to destroy every Christian. He can't take you to hell. If you're saved by the grace of God, he can't take you to hell. But he can keep you from influencing somebody else going to heaven. And so it's very important that you and I learn to stand together. Learn to walk together in holiness. The Bible does say for us to be holy because he's holy. He wants us to be like him. And it requires every one of us to have the same diligence. It requires every one of us to have the same diligence to study the word of God so that we can be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. It requires that every one of us be patient and kind. You know, one of those buffaloes may say, well, I'm tired of standing here. I think I'm going home. But who have you just left vulnerable because you decided you didn't want to stand anymore? Jude tells us that we are to earnestly contend for the faith. That system of doctrine that was once delivered to the saints, we are to earnestly contend for that. That's not talking about the gospel as far as your saving faith. It's talking about the doctrines of the word of God. When you get the idea that that it's not important for you to know the doctrines and to obey the doctrines, You leave a gap for the devil to come in. And so each lion has its duty. And they know how to do their job well. Each Christian has their duty. But sometimes we don't know how to do our job well. So many times I've heard people say, well, they won't miss. Nobody cares about it. They're not going to miss me. I don't have anything to offer the church. Nobody's going to miss me if I'm not there. If you're not here, you've left a gap in the line. It's very important. Everyone is important. There's not any big I's and little U's in the church. Every one of us is important. Now, like I said, there's always going to be times that we go through trials that we're going to need the protection of the hurt. Every one of us is going to have those days. But that shouldn't be every day, all year long, all our lifetime through. There ought to become a time when we grow up to be men and women of Christ, that we learn to be good soldiers, that we learn to use the whole armor of God. And you notice now Paul talks about in the whole armor of God. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter number 6. Let me give you this. Ephesians chapter number 6. If I can find it. Ephesians chapter number 6, beginning in verse number 11, says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And now you notice, the armor of God is just like the buffalo. When the buffalo turns his back, all his defenses are gone. I don't know if you ever seen a lion grab a buffalo by the tail, but I imagine that's not a very nice experience. Grab him or her by the tail and start pulling, and then they start jumping on the back and biting on the backbone and all those kind of things. But when you read the whole armor of God, you'll notice there's no armor for the back. So if you turn and leave, you leave yourself, not only do you leave an opening in the line for the devil to get in behind the backs of all the other buffalo, but you leave your own back exposed. And you say, well, I'm strong, I can take it. You let somebody bite your backbone and you'll find out you ain't near as strong as what you think. I told you when I was younger, I used to think people who claimed they had back problems were just wimps. I found out different. I started having back problems, and I found out, boy, you start having back problems, and it's all you can do to move. You see me sometimes when I get ready to stand up, I stand up in sections. I stand up here, grab something, and stand up a little bit more, and then grab something a little bit higher, stand up a little bit more. You say, why is that? Because there's something back here that just keeps me from just doing it all at once. So you may think, well, I can handle the devil. Number one, you can't handle him. Number one, he's more powerful than you. He's as a roaring lion. That means he's more powerful than you are. But the other thing is, you remember that when God cast him out of heaven, God said that he had corrupted his wisdom. He was perfect in wisdom, and he said he corrupted his wisdom. Nowhere does the Bible say that the devil lost his wisdom. He still got the same wisdom. But he no longer uses it for holy and good intentions. Now he uses it for evil intentions. So if you think you're smart enough to outsmart the devil, you're just kidding yourself. And you're going to pay an awful big price for it. You see, the only chance we have is number one, to lean upon the Lord and use the armor that he gave us. To be sober, to be vigilant. Use the armor. Know what the armor is and know how to use it. And know that God expects us to stand together. That's the way the Romans did, by the way. They stood together. Shield to shield. If I remember right, they're the ones that fought in squares, what they called a moving square. They moved with the armor. So when they moved this way, their armor was facing this way on all four sides. When they moved this way, they never turned the shield. They walked that way. And as long as you and I will stand back to back, we'll be all right. But if the devil ever gets one of us out of place, out of sorts, you can rest assured trouble's on the way and somebody's going to get hurt. So don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. Don't listen to him when he whispers and says, well, you're not important. Don't listen to him when he whispers and say, that person doesn't like me. That person said something bad about me. Don't listen to all that kind of stuff. And when he whispers in your ear that so-and-so is doing something, don't listen to that either. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. Let's stand together. Let's listen. Number one, let's make sure that we do our very best to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Study the Word of God. Walk with God. Pray with God. Grow up and be like men. Be like soldiers. Stand together. Stand firm. Endure hardness. Because we don't know who's going to get hurt if we don't. You may not be the one that get. And I don't. You. If you raise children, you know this. You can endure getting hurt yourself far better than you can endure your children getting hurt, or your grandchildren. You know, if it comes down to somebody getting run over by a car and going to the hospital, I sure rather it be me than my wife or my kids or grandkids. I can deal with that. I may not like it. It may hurt, but it doesn't hurt near as bad as the other. So, be sober. Be vigilant. For your adversary the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. So I hope that helped you this morning.